It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with information that empowers you so you make better financial decisions in your life. And I'm going to begin today with a dose of Clarkonomics, a segment we used to do during the Great Recession every day. And I want to give you my cloudy crystal ball about where I think we're moving generally. I want you to take notes, and then a year from now, make fun of me when I'm wrong. Also, have you noticed that the big thing now is to give you less options, not more, when you're shopping, either online or in person? I want to tell you what that's about, why it happened, and why it's actually good for everybody all the way around. But Krista, you wanted to read some things to get into Clarkonomics instead of me talking right off the bat.
Right. I just wanted to read Kevin in Pennsylvania's question. He said, just wondering if you could give us a quick outlook to the economic future for 2024. What direction will the markets head with the upcoming elections and economic pressures?
So no way to know short term with the stock market. The fact that there's a historical measurement that when people aren't scared who are investors, that's when you should be scared. That generally the greatest upward movements with investing tend to happen when people are pessimistic, not when they are like right now where they're overly confident. Think about this. We've had really nice runs with investments over the last few years. And so people tend to bake in what's known as inertia bias. It was great, so it's going to be great. The reality is you have reversion to mean, which is how much something is worth. And stock markets overshoot on the up, overshoot on the down. So I'm playing a long game, and I am incapable of predicting what's going to happen with markets this year. And anybody who says they know, it's a guess, or they're just making it up. But long term, I believe that people figure out how to make things work, which is part of what I'm going to talk about later with how there's fewer choices available. And so you just can't do that. Now, oil, energy, all that. I always say one thing whenever I talk about energy, barring unexpected events in the world. If you think about when Putin invaded Ukraine a couple of years ago, energy prices went crazy high, and there were all these predictions that they were going to stay the highest level they'd ever been, like in forever and forever and all that. What happened instead? They spiked and then they came back down. Why'd they come back down? Because when you create an opportunity, an incentive in the marketplace fills it. And who filled it more than anybody else on earth? The good old USA. We, most months, are the largest energy producer in the world now in the United States. And we have sucked some of that life out of OPEC, energy out of OPEC, if you will, by what we have been able to do. And now more and more countries are like, forget that OPEC cartel, the price fixing. We're going to go do our own thing. And that's good for our national defense. That's good for your wallet and mine. And I want to say something that I'm going to upset some people. All right, so I've been driving electric cars for 13 years. I love them. They're great. Maybe not to you yet, but you'll eventually end up in one because the economics will be compelling, but they're also really fun to drive. In the meantime, though, we need to continue here and overseas to produce energy. And the fact that we're producing so much is fantastic because a transition like this is a multi-decade transition. So we will continue to produce supplies of natural gas. We'll continue to produce oil. We'll continue to generate more and more power from solar and wind. We're going to do all these things. But what's important for us as a country, for our country's security, is that we continue to produce fossil fuels for a good period to come. Am I going to be thrilled when we have zero carbon emissions in the future? You bet. And it's going to happen, but it will happen over time, not by edict and not all at once. So again, you go to clark.com/clarkstinks, because I'm sure that will upset some people, but it's a reality. And so the energy markets look like they're going to be pretty stable this year, although an unexpected event could change that. Stock markets, no way to predict, but the country is in amazingly good shape considering what we went through with the pandemic. The shock of the pandemic, that people really don't realize how much of the unease people feel, is from thinking back to March of 20 forward, when people didn't know, was this the end of life as we knew it? What was going to happen? It was so disruptive, the pandemic shutdowns, all of that. It takes a while for us to feel like the earth isn't shifting under us anymore. So we're good. We're going to be better. And we as human beings adapt, and we are going to be just fine. You mentioned the political environment. Big question marks with that. Even if things get really dicey with that, I believe, because I'm always an optimist, we're going to be fine there too.
Okay, Brian in
Remember,
Georgia.
clark.com/clarkstinks.
Brian in Georgia says, I know you usually say don't buy an extended warranty. What about an extended car warranty from a company like CarMax? Is it worth it?
I've been asked about the CarMax extended warranties before. I don't know. We don't get complaints about it, and we don't hear compliments about it. It violates my rule that you always buy an extended warranty from the manufacturer only. In the case of CarMax, except for a couple of locations, you're buying only used cars from CarMax. So I'm unqualified to say whether people would have a better experience with a CarMax warranty on a used car than you would with any of the others that I've always said are trash. So I guess I should look into that and see if I come up with a definitive opinion. But right now, it's an I don't know.
All right. BP in Pennsylvania says, I'm interested to know if Clark has any feedback on large price increases for trash and recyclable disposal. My latest invoice is for $114 for January through March of 24. When we first moved into our house a few years ago, it was only $69 per quarter, and recyclables disposal was free, although I know nothing is free. Soon after, they started charging for recyclables at $18 a quarter, then up to $27 a quarter. Now, in addition to the $69 for trash and $27 for recyclables, there's a $12 fuel surcharge and $6 environmental fee. Reminder that this is per quarter.
Right.
I'm expecting there to be a fee, and then another fee coming soon. Just trying to see if I need to potentially switch service providers or if it's a wash at this point.
Thank you. BP, first of all, I love that you have a choice of providers and you need to shop around. The fuel surcharges came about 2 years ago, what I was talking about after Putin invaded Ukraine. Energy costs went back down. The fuel surcharges somehow didn't go away by a lot of providers. So you need to shop the services. Now, what happened with the recycling is there have been some issues in the recycling market, because here's a dirty little secret. Our recycling overwhelmingly went on boats and was processed in communist China. That's no longer done overwhelmingly. So making recycling work financially has become much more difficult. That's why recycling went from being free, because it was a profit-making center for the trash haulers, to now it's a real expense for them with the goods going to recycling. So the cost going up, the recycling getting to be so expensive, that is a marketplace thing. And shop your service, because those fuel surcharges, I don't like those at all. There's no justification for that being in place now.
I paid $30 a month to have compost picked up. Is that bad? That's a lot, huh?
I don't know. I don't really understand the whole compost thing. That's where you take old food stuff.
You can pizza boxes, even my compost company takes. Yeah,
and then it becomes like soil or something.
Yeah, and you can get it. You can get soil delivered to you, but you can also opt to give it to like school gardens, community gardens, restaurants, stuff like that. So,
isn't it funny how clueless I am so often? We could talk about expensive. That musician again.
Taylor Swift. I'm going to get a lot of Clark stinks telling me to get my own composter, but I don't have anything to do with it. So I don't know what to do with the soil.
I don't even know anything about that kind of stuff.
Sorry.
I'm such a city boy. Anyway, coming up ahead, we're going to talk about having less choices when you're shopping is actually great for efficiency and for your wallet. And I'm going to tell you why it all happened.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I was mentioning earlier about the psychological disruptions, forget the physical, the health stuff, from COVID, how disruptive it was, how unsettling it was, not just for American society, but for people in country after country after country. And that's the down, the loss of life, the illnesses, and the psychological harms. At the same time, there was a lot of new efficiency that came out of COVID. You think about the online and in-person delivery systems and ordering systems, the real-time inventory that so many places did, the enormous improvement in how restaurants operate, independent restaurants that suddenly were able to have affordable software that made running their businesses much more efficient. There were a lot of things that really made us more efficient, not just here, but other places in the world as well. And one of the things is, like, I think about when we had the extreme supply chain shortages and how it forced manufacturers to fight back against their own marketing arms. You know, the marketing arms will always come up with a reason why we need 344 different styles of toilet paper, or why we need 700 different types of soup or whatever. But the efficiency of the marketplace came into play when we were just trying to get things done. I saw in a Wall Street Journal piece that Kimberly-Clark got rid of 70% of its varieties of paper products in one weekend. They just started making whatever they had the greatest sales of. And instead of having to change production lines, they just kept running those 24 hours a day to fill the need for toilet paper, paper towels, whatever. And company after company after company did this kind of stuff. A lot of companies that had marginal brands that were taking up, again, productive capacity, they discontinued those and they made the ones that were most efficient. Have you seen the Tab stuff? If you've ever heard of it. The second diet drink ever in America, the first was Diet Right Cola. The second and more successful was Tab, T-A-B. It tasted kind of like you were drinking motor oil. I don't know exactly what motor oil tastes like, but that's where it was in my brain because Tab was just disgusting. But there were people who loved Tab, and Coke kept making it. And so there's all these demonstrations about Coke discontinuing Tab, and these people want it. And I saw a story somewhere about this woman who has this collection of unconsumed tab because she doesn't know what she's going to do when she runs out of it. So there are people who become very brand loyal to something that becomes just kind of an asterisk for a manufacturer. But anyway, what happened was we became so much more efficient, and efficiency brings lower costs. Lower costs, weirdly, I know it seems impossible, ultimately lead to lower prices. That's why I'm obsessed with the warehouse clubs. They have so few SKUs, you know, so few choices of items. And so they're able to take the very small number they sell and make far more of them or buy far more of them and sell them for less. They get better inventory turnover, blah, blah, blah. Well, for medical reasons, I'm on these diet restrictions right now. And so I went to Aldi, which is my go-to supermarket, and I'm looking at different items, trying to find ones that meet the requirements. One of the things I was looking for was a salad dressing that was low sodium. Sodium is something I'm supposed to control now. And so I looked through the Aldi choices. I'm out of luck. So I go to a traditional supermarket, and I should have taken a picture and had us post it along with the podcast, because I'm looking and there were hundreds of choices. Aldi, I think there are 6 salad dressings or something. And I'm looking in this traditional supermarket and it's like going on and on and on. There's this and that and this and that and this and that. And I look through, I actually had to look through every single bottle of these. I was in that section. They must have thought I was from a manufacturer trying to scope out the competition or something. So I'm going item by item by item. Out of all these hundreds of salad dressings, there were 2 I could use. So I bought those 2. And really what I should have done is just oil and vinegar.
Olive oil and vinegar.
Something like that on a salad.
I love that.
And
olive oil is good.
So that may be my next thing, Krista. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, why is Aldi 40% cheaper than a traditional supermarket? Because they don't have the labor costs. They don't have the inventory issues. They don't have to throw out food that goes bad because they have items that are slow sellers and they have a million different ones that streamline stuff. And there are people always going to be willing to pay more to have more choice. I'm somebody who loves streamlined standardization, cheaper. Those things equal cheaper. That's who I am. This is my era now. And I completely suffered from the paradox of choice when I went to the traditional supermarket. I'm looking at this. I cannot believe. Do we really need hundreds of those to pick from?
Mm-hmm.
We do?
No, I don't. I make my own. I think it's crazy.
The other hard one for me was I love spaghetti and spaghetti sauce. You try to find a low sodium spaghetti sauce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Challenge accepted.
I got some.
You did?
Yeah. You know what it tasted like?
What?
Tasted like I was eating something that was just water that had red food coloring in it.
Oh.
I mean, it tasted like nothing.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to be on the hunt for that.
Okay.
All right. Todd in Washington says, I have seen something on credit card websites that seems new to me. I have an Alaska Airlines Visa card and a Macy's card, and both are managed by Citibank. When I log into the site, I'm taken directly to a screen that says, update your income information so we can consider you for future credit line increase or other offers you may find valuable. There's a form that asks for total annual net income, residential status, and monthly housing payment. Is this information required? I really don't want to share this info, but I assume if it's optional, but they make it very inconvenient to close this screen if you don't fill it out. There's no close button. What's going on here, and would Clark provide this information?
Yeah, it's funny because Citibank does things like that. They you sign into your portal on Citibank. I'm not paperless. They put this thing up trying to make me go paperless every single time I sign in. And you're looking around trying to figure out how to get out of it. It's like you were putting a straitjacket and, okay, so we got 30 seconds to get out of this straitjacket. Let's see you do it. I mean, it's really funny how they do that. This income thing, all the big issuers are doing it because they check your credit score every month. But credit scores don't take into account income. So they're all trying to get you to say what your income is. So my advice about this is if your income is really favorable and it's gone up, go ahead, fill it out. because then you're not going to have to worry. They're going to say, well, what we don't know about this person might hurt us. So maybe we're going to cut their credit limit or cut off their card or whatever. Or we really like what they told us. So let's give them, if they want it, more available credit, which helps you improve your credit score. So it's a standard operating thing you're going to see. It's not quite universal yet, but it's going to become very common when you sign into a credit card portal. Now, you said something has me worried. You said you had two Citibank cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you have credit cards from more than one issuer. Because if Citibank ever decides they hate you and they close both those cards on the same day, and you have no other cards anywhere else, you're suddenly without credit all at once.
Misha, New Jersey says, do you have any recommendations for pet boarding when traveling? You mentioned that you have pets and that you travel often. Also, if you travel with your pets, do you have any advice from your experience? I just rescued a small dog and would like to travel a little.
So here's what we do. We have a wonderful woman who takes care of our dogs when we travel by air. We don't fly our dogs. When we're going somewhere we can drive, the dogs go with us. When you travel with your dogs, always make sure you have plenty of bags to clean up mess. And you have the little portable water things so you can give them water when you stop. And then we have an individual, which I really prefer. Krista, you use a boarding facility, mm-hmm. right? We prefer having an individual. So this is personal choice that you decide over time. I will tell you that when you plan for a vacation and you're going to board your dog or have somebody take care of your dog, you're going to be surprised what it costs per day. I mean, it's a legitimate, real expense on a trip. One good thing, if you do travel by car with the small dog you rescued, know that the number of hotels that allow pets to stay with you has gone way up. They may charge you a pet deposit or an extra charge for a pet staying in the room or something like that. But it used to be very hard to find hotels where you could stop along the road with your pet. And today, very, very easy.
Mark in Florida says, I love the podcast and have listened to you for about 20 years. I have a crazy question. You have many people on staff and we all know that you have a podcast and do some TV work. Do you have other businesses that you don't talk about? I'm trying to figure out how you pay everyone. Just a curious listener. Love the show, as I mentioned, and happy new year to you and your staff.
Well, what we do is we have a scam company. No.
We've got a boiler room.
Yeah, exactly.
Cold calling.
No. So Clark.com. And ClarkDeals.com are very, very successful organizations that provide, you know, Clark.com provides all this content for news you can use for your wallet. And then Clark Deals, where we post bargains all the time. And they are both very profitable enterprises. The podcast is fortunately amazingly profitable. So these are all sustaining businesses. The only thing that we have that is something that's dear to my heart, but just costs money, is our Team Clark Consumer Action Center, where you can get free one-on-one advice, staffed by a paid staff and volunteers who answer your questions one-on-one. So we are trying to be here to serve people and at the same time to be able to provide for a very large staff to do the research and provide information that you can trust. It's all about, you know, so often today, it's so hard to know who and where you can turn and who you can trust. But we are unbought and unbossed. And that's the way we've always done things, that nobody pays me or any of our writers or any of our content. Nobody pays us what they call pay for play. There's no sponsored content. There's nothing like that. Everything you hear, read, see is there because in my head and my heart and in each of our employees' heads and hearts, it's what we believe to be sound, solid advice. Will we always get it right? No, because we're all just human beings, but we do the best we can with everything we do. We have been able since 1987 to be able to provide guidance, information, advice in so many different ways. And as technologies change, we change with them. And we've always been able to do it as something that's worked for you and been able to be self-sustaining. And that's the goal going forward. In my deep history, just so you know, I was involved in many different businesses as a young person. And I actually retired with the intention of retiring permanently when I was 31. And I didn't really work much for 4 years, but then went fully back into work. And everything I've done since has been a labor of love, a labor of joy. And not everything you do is fun. Not every day you come in to work is great. But overall, I just feel so privileged that I didn't stay retired and that I embarked on this new life. So
we're glad too. As a longtime employee. Thank you.
Krista and I have been together almost as long as Lane and I have been married. What, 97 was when you started our first webpage? Mm-hmm. 1997. That's a long time.
It is.
Why are you still looking so young?
I was in diapers.
I'm so old. So you're a true digital native.
Yeah. I was a little baby. Yeah, I knew what I was doing.
Programming websites. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you did, if you do, share it with somebody else. Somebody you think could benefit from some empowerment so you can take more control of your life. And money is not the target. Money is not a god. What this is about is giving you freedom to make the choices you want to in your life. Think about me, because I was able to bag work when I was 31 and only went back for it being fun. That's all I've ever done since is I've made money, but it's been for fun. And that's a lot better than going to work because I-O-A-O-A-O and off to work I go. So that's a little tidbit of my story. And hope the rest of your day is wonderful. Remember what we're devoted to, you learning ways to save more and spend less and never let anybody rip you off.